Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more. All for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Haynes, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Haynes from Nolan Haynes Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey, welcome. Wow, because we didn't really get a chance to talk what's happening in our studios last time because we were having fun up at Microsoft, which I think that episode turned out pretty good considering the amount of background noise and
Kudos to you, Troy, for the sound editing on that.
It was awesome.
New appreciation for some of the tools in Audition. But hey, let's talk about what's happening. What are you guys up to? What's new in studios and projects and all the fun stuff happening in the world of design?
Well, I'm working on a number of pretty heavy data-driven reports for clients, some in InDesign, some in PowerPoint. It's difficult in either, but of course I have their pros and cons, but just trying to figure out how to shove tons of data onto single pages. That's what we do.
I think that's the mantra for lots of slide design, at least.
Yeah. But when it's print, you can go down to 8-point or 7-point and still get it in there.
How about you, Troy?
Let's hear. I have moved. This happened before we were at Microsoft, but I officially have transitioned my production computer to the 64-bit Office of Install. No. The 64-bit install of Office. So in other words, you know, all the operating systems are 64-bit, but when you install PowerPoint, or I should just say Microsoft Office, you have a choice of 32-bit or 64-bit. Legacy is I have always told people go with the 32-bit. And one of the main reasons is this topic, because add-ins just haven't always worked with the 64-bit version. They have to be basically recoded to work with the 64-bit. It's a different file structure and other things. So I've had a few bumps with it, but really out of all the Office apps, only PowerPoint has shown an improvement or a big difference. Performance tests with some crazy big files and a lot of videos is noticeably better. And I will preface this that I used 64-bit installs for what year was the Olympics up in Canada? I mean, that was like 8 years ago, wasn't it? At least. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I like ran 64-bit installs because I was running so many videos during that one. I knew I had to do it, and I had very, very controlled environment where I knew the codecs of the videos, and I knew everything would work, and it worked great. But, you know, just for my daily life, I haven't really recommended it. And another big reason is kind of like we're going to talk about today is add-ins are noticeably worse. In other words, some of them just don't install. But now so many of them do work that I found enough of them there that I can put together my production work life and it works out. As for projects, I'll just leave the whole 64-bit thing. That's kind of geeky. It's been fun. It's busy studio. I hate paperwork and admin tasks, but the diversity of tasks that we have the projects in, it makes it really great. I just, you know, we always have to invoice them and non-competes and contracts and all those things I would rather not do are taking up way too much time. We started work on another major auto manufacturer project. So beautiful photos of awesome cars, and the presentations are more like a series of animated billboards. It's just great. We have lots going on.
I have a variety too. I'm working with an architectural firm on their template. It's their second round. I think the last time I created a template for them was 3 years ago. And like your auto presentations, the visuals are awesome. So it's a really fun template to work with. I hate paperwork too. And now that Chloe is out on paper, on maternity leave,
Really?
She had a baby girl. Yeah.
Oh,
really
wonderful.
Yeah. It's very awesome. I am making an adjustment, but anyway, I'm working in paperwork that I hate. what else am I working on? I let's see here. I have a conference that I know, a conference coming up in October, and we're already starting the planning for that. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm creative directing 3 different websites for a national author. And I can't code websites, but I can creative direct. And this author loves what I've done with PowerPoint. I've kind of worked with his book covers, and actually I didn't design his logo, but when I created his business card design, he decided that he loved that for everything. So it's really a fun, varied project load right now.
Nice.
That's awesome.
All right, let's talk about some news. What's going on in the world?
Fair bit of news. That's for certain.
Not what's just going on in the world, but the presentation world.
Yes, the presentation world. Yeah. What do you got, Nolan? What's newsworthy?
So Microsoft introduced baked into Office 365 apps translation. So on the PC, this is now available in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. It's under the review tab. You can translate a section of text or a whole document. Works pretty well. I think, Troy, as you pointed out, this is an outgrowth of some sort of Microsoft Garage products. There was something called Presentation Translator.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, we're wrapping up the month of add-in blog posts. And the Friday one was basically kind of our end of the month. And we did Presentation Translator, which was a Microsoft Garage project, which you could actually install. I'm wondering if what you're seeing, which everybody's seeing, is an outgrowth or like the formalization of, because Garage is like hey, here's a cool concept. It works enough. We're going to throw it out in the world. And there's some cool stuff. I think this might be, you might have like the end result of it, like, hey, it's gone public here's how it's baked into the product for real. You don't have to, because ours is an add-in. It's still totally available. I went and checked the link. Anyways, there's a cool blog post because it does a lot. I mean, the Garage one. So I'm kind of curious to see what Word and stuff has baked into it.
So on the Mac, it is only available in Word at the moment, but I'm sure it's coming for PowerPoint and Excel soon.
Well, I'm curious to see if it has improved. I used it, I would say a year ago, I had 3 languages to translate for a client, and I ended up not having confidence because I can't read the translation. I don't know how well it's doing, correct? I mean, we can't do that. So I did seek outside resources. I needed experts translating.
But certainly it's easier to get a foreign language copy editor rather than copywriter
in those
situations. Although I'm sure any translator worth their salt would turn up their nose with a computer generated translation.
Well, you know what? They probably start it with a computer translation and then they go through and edit it.
Well,
maybe
they might.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just the way things work these days.
Well, speaking of turning up your nose at things, Microsoft also has, they have this, Microsoft will ban offensive language. I'm putting in quotes because nobody's really categorizing what offensive or inappropriate content. And this is going to be on Skype, Xbox, all of the Office products. I'm assuming that would kind of translate into what you're talking about, Nolan, this whole translation thing. It's starting May 1st. They have this new service going in and it's claiming it's going to go. So what Microsoft says in the little article is that they're going to go through our private data to do basically anonymous investigation to determine what should be banned.
First time hearing of this, actually. But that means if you're having a private Skype conversation with something and you type something in the comments, that'll get censored somehow?
You know, it's a very, I'll put a link to the article. Sandy, you read it as well. Anything?
I did read it. No, that's exactly
it. How is this not getting more play?
Well, Nolan, how many times have the words you've chosen in Words for with Friends been censored? I mean, I think it's typical out there now. It's on Facebook.
Slippery slope thing. How is that different from, you know, sending a text message saying whatever?
I know.
Using profanity,
right?
Or saying, you know, Keynote is better than PowerPoint. I mean, is that going
to
get?
Yeah, you're right. That's profane to some people.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's interesting.
I did get, and one of the things that kind of put two and two together is I believe most everybody listening may have in their email gotten an update to our terms of service from Microsoft. I got it about a week or so ago, and I was like, oh, what's this? Kind of producing, like, well, there's a lot of legal jargon. Delete. But you know what?
Yep.
That this is part of it. Part of it what there is that the updated terms say that they will be able to apply filtering to things like Skype and Office 360. Again, it has to be Office 365. Is anything that's online. So it's not doing any offline review. Mm-hmm. It's online. I think it even encompasses OneDrive and files that may be in there. It's a pretty, there's a couple of articles. We'll post a couple of them. Definitely something to keep track of. I mean, you know, it doesn't really impact me because it's really not my style of writing or communicating, but it's kind of going to be interesting. And I'd be really, really curious about going right to that translation thing, how this works in translation. Like, how are they capturing all the cultural things?
Yeah. I mean, this is like a topic for like the lawfare blog or
ACLU.
I mean, this is well beyond our pay grade.
Sandy, weren't you talking about, I mean, kind of the same idea, but weren't you talking about the, like some hacker exploit?
There is. Yep. There's three Microsoft flaws that are being exploited to spread. And why I became very interested in this article was it sounds like a Star Trek language, Zycon malware. And so what happens is they're using it to deliver malware using spear phishing emails. Now, I understand phishing. But the word spear, you guys, I don't know if you know what that is. I would love someone to explain that to me. But anyway, it typically arrives attached in a zip file that contains malicious Office files. So, you know, the same rule applies as always. You never open an email from someone you don't know. And even if it does look like someone you know, you should always check their email because...
Yeah.
You've gotten those phishing emails where it's from Microsoft, but the email address is tim@abccompany, you know? So,
I just like the name of it. It sounded like a Pixar villain.
Zyklon.
Zyklon, it's spelled differently, but Zyklon was the name of the gas the Nazis used. So.
Wow.
There's trivia and I'm curious why you know it. This is great.
Zyklon B. Yeah. So in other news, and this is continuing news, but I just feel like I have to mention it because I'm so frustrated. Ivy charts are still broken in PowerPoint. So I mean, Microsoft has made a lot of missteps over the years and, you know, generally they fix it after a while. So Ivy charts are these new charts, tree maps,
Sunburst.
And Box and Whisker. There are about five or six or seven of them. So they introduced them first on the PC. Fine. They didn't, you know, there were things that didn't quite work at like the other charts, but you could use them. Like you can make the charts and then you could open them on the Mac, but they were locked. They were basically pictures because you couldn't edit. Fine. But then they introduced them on the Mac and instantly they're there. You do insert tree map and great. Oh, I've got a tree map with some dummy data. Let me change the data and make it my own. Impossible.
Oh my goodness.
It's literally impossible. So that's how they introduced it. And eventually they fixed it on the Excel side. So you can actually, you know, edit your data, you know, assuming you know how to set up the data chart table to begin with. But on the PowerPoint side, still 6 months or more after they introduced a feature, it's literally unusable. And I can't remember seeing anything like that. I mean, if it's not usable, remove it.
Okay, so today it's all about third-party PowerPoint add-ins, which they've been around for a long time. They are actually one of the key factors in me deciding to transition as a designer into PowerPoint because I could see the extensibility and I was able to accomplish a lot of things I was doing in other programs like Flash and Director. I think we owe a lot to Excel in this whole arena of add-ins because very large companies have integrated Excel add-ins into their everyday workflows. And I know that Microsoft does not want to hinder with their big clients. So there are many areas where you know that things were updated to make sure that add-ins continued to work for those large clients. So therefore, I am certain that PowerPoint has an ongoing support for add-ins due to a lot of the extended support by virtue of Microsoft supporting their clients using Excel add-ins. So why are add-ins so awesome? Why can you accomplish so much? And what do Nolan, Sandy, and myself use? Well, today that's what we're going to talk about. Add-ins we use and we see others using. So it's just kind of a conversation of, hey, here's what's cool and things to be knowledgeable of.
You know, I would like to invite our listeners to suggest add-ins.
Absolutely.
To add to the list.
Because, this is not going to be a comprehensive podcast, because there are hundreds, probably thousands of add-ins out there, including, Troy, as you kind of alluded to, corporate private ones that there are, you know, hundreds and hundreds or thousands of those that we'll never see. We don't even sometimes even know exist, but that can be written specifically for, organization challenges and to solve problems.
We'll allude to some options that are out there that, I'm kind of thinking of a couple of companies when we talk about them. I'll just allude to the fact they've got whole catalogs of stuff that isn't on their popular list that are out there. So Nolan, kick us off, define add-ins or give us categories or something.
All right. So let's talk about add-ins. There are a number of categories of them. I already mentioned sort of the public-private ones. So we're obviously only going to be talking about ones we know of that exist out in the wild that are either free to use or that we can or that you can purchase. Also, we're going to focus on PowerPoint. There are also add-ins, for Excel and Word that are created as well. And then we're also going to sort of get into, sets of add-ins and different categories and also just third-party software that, is it technically an add-in?
Yes.
Or is it just, a helper app? Because there are all sorts of we're going to use the term add-in here a little incorrectly, and that it sort of encompasses everything that either you can access from within PowerPoint or that helps PowerPoint in various different levels. So how's that for categorization?
That's big and vague. Perfect.
Big and vague.
That's always my goal in life.
I love it. Love it.
Big and vague. All right. So let's sort of kick it off with maybe the ones most, let's say, most blessed or most approved by Microsoft.
By Microsoft, it'd probably be their Microsoft Store add-ins. And I want to clarify what Microsoft Store is. It's not the store at the Mall of America, nor is it the Microsoft Store that you click the icon that appears at the bottom of your toolbar automatically when you're on Windows 10. I can't remember Windows 7.
I think it was introduced in Windows 8, but yeah, it's the Windows App Store, not the
It's not the Microsoft. Yep. Thank you for clarifying. No, the store we're talking about is in PowerPoint on your insert tab. You'll click on the insert tab and you see something that's called My Add-ins. There's a more arrow there.
It's a cute little orange shopping bag, right?
No. Yes, it is. Yes, it
is. This is where it gets confusing because there's the store and there's the My Add-ins, which accesses everything you've downloaded from the store.
Yes. So that is very confusing. So if you go to the store, it opens up, which is, you're right, Nolan, the red shopping bag. And that's where you can search for various Office add-ins. After that, anything that you purchase or download is available in a My Add-ins tool. And that has a little blue box, I guess, next to it.
So give us an example of one.
All right. So the one that I let's start with the one that I use all the time, and that is the Noun Project. These are add-ins that are generally, or I guess always, developed by non-Microsoft companies. And Microsoft essentially opens up the API. So they opened it up to the Noun Project. So if you have a professional account at the Noun Project, which you should, because it's like the greatest deal in the world, for $40 a year, you can get this little sidebar right in PowerPoint using the PowerPoint sort of interface, and you can insert any of the icons from the Noun Project.
It's like the old task panes for photos and insert photos, insert what was it called? Clip art. It's that. Right. It's called the task pane. Yes, but Nolan, now maybe I'm wrong here, but doesn't that add-in only provide pings?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Which is why I'll very often at the end of the day end up going back to Illustrator and doing it the hard way. But yes, if you need an icon in a pinch and you don't mind that it's a PNG, you can bring it in that way.
I'm wondering if if you go to the website, the Noun Project, you get a choice between PNGs and SVGs. Uh-huh. We all know that SVGs can create problems in PowerPoint on older versions of PowerPoint. So maybe that's the logic behind that right now until SVGs work across the board. I don't think so.
The reason I don't think so is because Adobe Stock does the exact same thing. They have an add-in. You install it. We have it installed. We have an Adobe Stock account. I can go to the Adobe Stock, go into Creative Cloud, search for it, opens up a web page, find artwork, and I can download anything I want. Interestingly, I can download vector art, Illustrator art, all day long in the web version. Noun Project, I can download PNG or SVG. I get a choice. Adobe Stock, you don't. It just says, we have a vector version. You can have the vector version. But when I search it from PowerPoint, I can find the exact same vector art. It only gives me, I don't know if it's a PNG or a JPEG, but it's a raster image. It won't let me download vector art. So it might be a limitation of the API to say available.
Well, also, to be fair, SVG support is only available on Office 365 for PC. So they might be waiting. Maybe they're waiting for it to be available everywhere, or I don't know. I mean, it just seems it's sort of the lowest common denominator to PNG right now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I have to imagine they're going to be moving to it eventually. But
yeah, makes sense. Do either of you have the Pexels add-in?
Yep. Pexels and Pixabay, and I always forget the names of all of them, but yeah. Pickett, that's the other one.
So this is kind of one of those things where Microsoft is trying to figure out this whole, what they're calling the store add-ins. And again, it's very confusing because the word add-ins is used for many different things now. But in this store one, it's kind of interesting because I have Adobe Stock and Noun Project on my insert tab. But if I want to use, if I want to use Pickett Images, its icon is on my home ribbon. They're not, it's up to the company to decide where it goes. I think it's kind of how savvy is it? Is the company what they want to do? I'm sure the default is the insert tab, but they're not even in the same location. So now we have, and everybody wants to go, and then everybody has if you have a traditional add-in, which I know we're getting to shortly here, that adds an add-ins tab to the ribbon, of which developers can and can't use it. But, you would think you go to the add-ins tab to find these. But no, they're usually in the insert tab. Then I have a few on the home tab. They're just everywhere. It's not really it's not a fully mapped out game plan of what's going to happen here. But they are kind of where Microsoft is going. This is their way of making sure that add-ins are available cross-platform. They're not on one machine. I will say that in anticipation of this episode, we focused the March blog posts at my blog, the PowerPoint blog, were on PowerPoint add-ins. So we actually talked about the Noun Project. We talked about Pickett. We talked about Pexels, talked about many, many other ones. So every day that we had a post, it was pretty much about an add-in. The design team did reviews of a few other store add-ins. There was a word cloud generator. It worked pretty good. It had a limitation of it only provided a flattened art piece. You couldn't break it out. Some of the other word cloud generators, we get like an EMF out of it. So we have vector art we can, animate or adjust. Which other ones did we do? We did Yay Images. We did Pickett Images. I don't know. Those are the ones I can think of right now. But we did a whole bunch of them. There's a lot out there. And this store is growing. It's just a whole different type of add-in. It's a web-based add-in. I would almost call them mini apps, wouldn't you? Like a lot of them are small apps.
Did anyone get the $5 coupon today from Microsoft? I got a free $5 gift for it says, thanks for downloading apps from the Microsoft Store. Here's a gift to let you buy apps and more.
Didn't Sandy start with the hackers are out there with spear phishing?
It took me to microsoft.ru. Is that, I think that's correct. Is that not right?
That's funny. So,
When you have five bucks to spend there, okay.
No, but it, after clicking everything, and yes, it took me to the real Microsoft store. It ended up taking me to like Microsoft.com store where it was advertising apps, which I thought was like cool, but now I'm on the store and it's like, hey, apply this $5 to a laptop. So I
did not. Okay, let's transition. So we have the store add-ins, and I think we have to start there because that's like the biggest push happening at Microsoft, and it's probably the one that people are starting to notice more and more. Let's transition to ones that you purchase from a developer, usually independent. You know, you buy them from their sites, and there's kind of a couple of categories. Let's start with large sets. In other words, you're going to buy one, and it's going to give you a whole custom ribbon. Do you guys have any of those? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, let's start with Steve Rinsberg.
Well, his starter set, which is where Thor was grounded. The starter set and many of the PP tool add-ins, they don't actually add a custom ribbon, but they all fall into the add-in ribbon category, the Microsoft the PowerPoint add-ins area. But I would call them large sets, like the starter set. It's a collection of, I don't know, 15 tools, all of them invaluable. And then PP Tools has a lot of collections. Some of them are specialized, like FixLinks Pro, still a program, an add-in I use continuously because it accomplishes some amazing features, but it's kind of an independent where the starter set is a whole ribbon. How about...
I just realized I haven't installed the starter set on my... that's crazy. I have it on my laptop, but I don't have it on my Surface Studio.
Well, here's the dilemma. I've moved to the 64-bit install. PP Tools does not support a 64-bit install of most of their add-ins. So this was actually one of those very hard decisions. And I'm constantly prodding at the PP Tools, Mr. Rinsberg, to update a few of them to be available in multiple platforms. Are the ones you guys use? Do you have any other, or have you used in the past?
Sandy, you used to use PPT Extreme a lot, right?
I did.
You know, I used to use it, but a long time ago.
PPT Extreme was the soft shadows. That's what I remember more. And I know there were other capabilities. It was awesome, but I haven't used it.
It's a pretty full-featured and probably one of the pricier add-ins. It's still out there. I mean, it is technically updated for the most recent software, but it's got a bunch of different modules. You can buy them all together or individually. Things like Photoshop import. If you were creating something with layers in Photoshop, you could import that whole thing into PowerPoint as layers. It had some other edit capabilities and some interesting effects and color tools as well. I actually used to use it a lot, but like 10 years ago.
I lived by it, and then it stopped working when we moved to the PPTX format, and then it all got fixed, but I kind of had made a new workflow. I actually know the developer there, and I used all of those add-ins. It really made life amazing. And some of the stuff that is done in PP Extreme still cannot be done. Right. In PowerPoint natively. And I mean, that's a part about add-ins is that there's really two categories. There's kind of these ones that help you with production, and then there's things that do everything else. You know, there's these two buckets, and PPT Extreme definitely is a production tool for the designer. It's incredible. How about this one? Have you guys heard of Tools 2 with a T-O-O? So it's Tools.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yep. And as a matter of fact, any Guild member can get a discount on this add-in, Tools 2, from Gil. He's the developer there. I love it. It's on my toolbar. I use it for very specific things, and I would love you guys to just kind of describe how you use it. But I love the radius control option for rounded corners. Yes. Worth the money.
Okay. First of all, I don't know how you get a discount off of the best value in the entire world at this point, because it's only like 20 bucks for this whole toolbar. And this one is really the epitome of what I would call a large add-in set. When you install it, it actually adds a Tools 2 tab to your ribbon. It is an entire environment. You can actually do most of your design work there, because I think it may be a little too complex for some users. And the fact that it's just overwhelming, but the main version of it right now includes a whole bunch of standard Microsoft tools, like the insert shape boxes there. You know, so basically you can kind of live in this one ribbon for everything. It's what I call a large set. It has all of its tools, which is like 60 some tools. And then it has a whole bunch of the standard Microsoft features and tools just so you don't have to keep moving around. It's a really, really, really powerful toolbar of sets. And the Radius one, unbelievable. You know, the fact that you create, so what we're talking about Nolan, have you seen this? So you create three rounded rectangle, you know, rounded corner rectangles are different sizes. Well, you get different size corners. And in Microsoft, in any program, there is no way to determine what those corners are or set them to be the same. I think this is just incredibly short-sighted. and there's this little button. You select the one you want and you select the other three, and then all three have magically become identical. It's worth its weight right there.
It's installed. I have it installed on my PC, but I guess the elephant in the room we haven't been talking about is none of these really are available on the Mac. Well, actually, the store add-ins are. So like the Noun Project and Pexels and things like that, there are. But all these other ones, these customized ones, just aren't available on the Mac. There are one or two, I think, but I don't even know what they are. I don't sort of use them.
And I will say that, you know, Nolan, you started with these kind of private or corporate custom coded solutions. Many of those are like this. They're a large add-in set. In other words, they add their own tab to the ribbon, and it has tools that are built out just for them. As example, I worked with Echo, and I worked with who had brought in John Wilson, and we did a whole team. We did a very large custom toolbar for a financial institute, but it did things that wouldn't help us. As example, it had a one button format table. We had already spec'd out all the custom visualization of a table, but to get to that visualization, it would take 3 to 15 minutes to customize a table to have that setup. So we created a custom coded solution that you click on a table, you click basically make our corporate styling, and boom, all the visual styling is done for you in one click. Now that is an amazing tool, but it is only good for one client. But those are a lot of the corporate things are basically these large add-in sets.
So, so those are sort of the big sets. I know there's some others out there, but those are some of the big ones we know about. So let's talk about some individual sort of like specialized tools that, you know, that we can't live without. Again, that there are thousands out there, but these are some ones that are top of our mind. And Sandy, you had started talking about Steve Rinsberg's Thor, right?
Which, exactly.
Is one of your favorites. What does that do exactly?
Okay, so it allows me to position objects on a slide exactly in the same location. Let's say I have six slides and I did a really poor job of creating a template, and my text placeholders are all out of place. I can put a placeholder in the position I want it to be, memorize that location using the Thor tool, and then every other placeholder after that, just click on it and it goes into place. The good news is, and we had a conversation about this in an earlier podcast, I use that on my, when I'm creating templates as well. It's wonderful.
By the way, you are brave. I've never actually done that. So now that you've been the guinea pig and told me it can be used on master layouts without causing XML corruption, I will.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Nice.
So the hammer tool is actually a part of the starter set. And then somebody twisted Steve Rinsberg's arm, and he made it a standalone one-off installer. And I will tell you, one of the best things about that is it is both a 32-bit and a 64-bit installer. It's one of the few that PP Tools has out there. And I'll give an example here of using it on a well-designed template. We develop templates left and right for a lot of medical pharma, and we need to put the footnoting in the same position. You're not going to have a placeholder for all the footnotes because there's so much there. So what we do is we actually, in our template, we have a slide that says, here's the master formatting to utilize for footers and reference marks. So we'll go to our master template. We'll pick up the formatting using the eyedropper tool, PowerPoint tool, and then we'll pick up the position using the Thor hammer tool. And we'll just go through all 300 slides. We'll just find every single footnote, select it, eyedropper it to get the formatting, and hammer it to put it into position. Just one through 300, boom, 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 4 minutes later, we have now positioned and formatted all of those text boxes. Would take forever if you were trying to manually do it. And I've seen some people do some amazing ways of trying to figure out, add guide marks, add this, add that position. It's just, oh, this tool. And it's free. This is a free add-in. How about this? This isn't a production thing. This is actually going to fall into that bucket of it does other things. Have you ever used Live Web by Sham?
Yeah, not recently, but I have.
I have not. What am I missing?
Okay, so everybody wants to put a web page onto a slide, and you can do some. You can make it happen. You go in Insert Object, and you can code it in there, or you can just go download another free add-in called Live Web. One word. It's by Sham, Shyam, and it will literally, in a matter of 4 or 5 clicks, you click it. It inserts the object for you. It says, what's the URL? You paste it in, and it gives you a window to the web on your slide, and you can go and interact with that web page. There are some gotchas with that, but this does something that you can accomplish natively in PowerPoint, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of finickiness, or you can get this add-in and have it done in a matter of 5 clicks.
Yeah, so it's the kind of thing if somebody wants, you know, just to always put up the most recent CNN page, for example, you don't need to put a screen grab that has, you know, news and info from 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice little thing.
Yeah, I just used it two weeks ago, I'll say. And what I did is I put up a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
We wanted to show it on a slide. The guy's like, hey, you guys are doing a lot. Let's check out what you've done. Threw it up there. It you know, you have to obviously be online. This was at that venue I was talking about where I had horrible internet service. By the way, their high speed was a 2 megabit download. That was the paid for high speed. But it worked. It was good. The key of this add-in, it just does something faster and easier. And it makes it so you don't basically have to know how to code things like inserting object models.
Got it. Well, Nolan, you've been working, or you've worked on an add-in. Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one.
So I am not a coder at all. I don't know where to begin. But, you know, all these plugins event basically come out of a need. Somebody has a need to do something that PowerPoint won't do. So some smart developer figures out how to do it. And I mention one of my big frustrations to Jamie Garach from Gmart Tools, which we'll be talking more about. Which basically I have huge slide sets, and I need to when I'm putting together talks, I need to pull out different slides from them, and so I need to hit, you know, a 90-minute talk, I need to pull from, you know, 4 hours of slides, and I need to know that I'm not going to go over 90 minutes. So I wanted to be able to tag every slide with a time, so that I could quickly see, okay, this slide takes 4 minutes, this takes 1 minute, and I assemble them and I get my timing. So I mentioned it to Jamie and at the summit last year. And within a couple of days, he had a beta running to solve this. And we ended up spending another few weeks going back and forth and working on it. So the result is a free plugin you can get on my site or on his. It's called Talk Time. I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but it essentially allows you to tag any slide with a timing or to run your presentation, and it'll automatically pull the timings. On top of it, it'll give you a running, a running count of your presentation. Say, hey, you're up to 30 minutes and 4 seconds. And you can, as you add slides or as you hide or unhide slides, it will update that thing. It'll also give you timings on each section. If you're using sections, it'll show you right there how many. So it, to me, it's sort of like changed the way of how I assemble my talks and my trainings now.
It's awesome. Yeah, it is.
Oh. It's so awesome.
And I've been in trainings where we start a half hour late for some reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have lots of breaks. So I can just go in and say, all right, I guess I'm not going to do that section, hide those slides. And immediately it says, okay, your training now is 3.5 hours instead of 4 hours. And I'm like, great.
And
it's the same thing with a talk. If your speaking time gets cut from 20 minutes to 15 minutes, you know, which slides do I cut? So you can just do it right on the fly.
By the way, I think you need like some sort of star rating, like 5 stars is like, we cannot cut this slide. 1 star is like, this is an analogy, I could cut it. So it kind of helps you decide what you can cut really quick.
Sure. Yeah. Ranking.
Just throwing my ideas in there. You see, I'm art directing right. Like you, Sandy, on the way.
Well, you know, the cool thing about working with Jamie on it was, you know, I would say something just like you said, you know, I said, and maybe it's a version 5, but it'd be cool if one day, you know, you could see sections and then, you know, an hour later he sends, okay, here's the new version. I got it. And so he's very talented.
As a sneak peek to our next episode, we're recording conversations with some great add-in developers. Actually, some of them are recording this week, and we're going to stitch them all together, and we're going to have an add-in conversation that will continue into our episode 52 with some amazing insights from add-in developers on what they see as the biggest use add-in productivity tools and their predictions about the future of add-ins in PowerPoint. And it's going to be awesome. And Jamie's accent in and of itself is just worth listening to that episode because he's one of the people we're recording a conversation with because he volunteered to say, yeah, I'd love to give some input on add-ins and the world of PowerPoint. Okay, now back to our regularly scheduled program with PowerPoint add-ins with Nolan Sanders. Okay. So
that was a good commercial plug-in after my commercial plug-in. Let's talk about some other categories because there are a few categories. And
okay, so here's an interesting one. Let's talk about this because I'm going to turn it over to most likely you two because you do this more on because font embedding is going to become a confusing term really quick. I'll have you two talk about the add-ins, but right now Microsoft is getting ready to unveil or release, or I've already got some of them with the whole web fonts and this, that there's a whole new font embedding methodology. And it kind of looks like it's going to actually work because I've never endorsed font embedding. So font embedding is now a Microsoft option, and it's also kind of an add-in category. And I know both of you use different font embedding options. So let's talk about those as an add-in if you're good with it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nolan.
Like you, I have avoided font embedding, the true PowerPoint font embedding for a while. And I'm now on the fence because as things are changing, and it's now the whole cloud fonts is launched on Windows and font embedding can now be read on the Mac. It can't be initiated on the Mac just yet, but yeah, so I'm changing that. But yeah, there are some solutions. One out there that came out a year or two ago is called Presentation Font Embedder. Presentation Font Embedder. And that was for Mac users because they can never embed fonts for their PC clients, so designers who worked on a Mac. So this is not an add-in. This is a third-party bit of software. It's drag and drop. But it allowed you to embed fonts on the PC, on the Mac side, that when it got opened on the PC side, they were there, right? So it essentially, yes. It was weird because if you immediately open that same file on the Mac, it would do what the Mac always did, which would strip out the fonts and say, hey, we don't support font embedding, so your fonts are gone now. Mm. So it was a little weird. Although it did and does offer a second version of font embedding, which is actually font outlining. So it will also go through, if you don't want to deal with true embedding, it'll go through your whole presentation and convert every single font to an image. So it's not technically embedding, but it's a way to use custom fonts and have it viewed by other people.
An image though, like a JPEG or a PNG file?
And you could set the now with the latest update, you can set the resolution on what you want that to be. So that's from Ari Leviathan. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, listener of the show. So basically, Ari wants everyone to know that Presentation Font Embedder is not going anywhere, even though you know the font embedding is going to come to the Mac. That's this outlining tool is still.
Mm-hmm. And Sandy, don't use another one that.
I do, but much differently. Jamie Garok, who worked with Gitesh Bajaj, we're such an international podcast. Anyway, this awesome text to outline tool does not convert the shape or the text to images. It converts it to Microsoft PowerPoint objects or vectors. So it's wonderful from a quality standpoint. You can scale it. It's really, really great. Plus, for example, when you have text in a group and you need to resize the group, you know how text, you have to edit the text size. Well, you don't need to do that if you convert everything to an outline. You were talking, Nolan, about the story where if you mention something, Jamie does it. When he released this with Gitesh, I had just said, you know, I made a note, I love this, but it's difficult. Sometimes I need to do it across the presentation. So we added that capability. The next day we had it.
As an option. So you can do it either way. Yep. You can do it on a case by case basis. Yep. It also just does some cool things where like it gives you the option to save the live text box up on the pasteboard.
Yes.
So if you ever need to go back and make an edit and then redo it, you can. You don't have to retype it from scratch.
Exactly.
So is the difference between the two, just because I don't use these tools. So the one you were talking about, Nolan, mm-hmm. I know it's Mac only, but it basically creates ping images of all the text.
Yes.
And Jamie's, Sandy, it actually creates vector arts. They're all editable. Mm-hmm. Like they're not text anymore, but they're actually vector. I'm assuming they're EMFs at this point, but it's just that's really cool.
It is. Yeah. You can edit them. You can edit them like you would a shape using the merge tools.
So
and edit points and all that stuff. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. and you can recolor them. Whereas the ping image, I guess you can recolor a ping based on basically a duotone overlay.
So Jamie's probably creates smaller file sizes.
Indeed.
Yeah. Another good point. Okay, how about this one? How about going into again, we've got kind of these design categories, and I would almost say the font outliner is not a design thing; it's more of an output or a conversion tool. How about ones that add to it, like interactivity and quizzes are a big deal.
Huge, yeah. It seems like every year I see like new quiz ones coming out. And in fact, Presentation Guru has a good article we'll link to that has 10 solutions for adding interactive quizzes. And most of them I'd never even heard of. But even with the 10 they listed, there are others they didn't. I think the one that's been around maybe the longest or the biggest is Poll Everywhere. So they essentially add in quizzes. They all do it in slightly different ways, but it allows viewers to generally log into a website or enter a code or text a specific number. And then live, you know, as you're presenting, your bar chart on your slide grows, you know, basically the slide pings their website, which is gathering all the data and the responses, and then gives you a live, some cases like animated, like you see the bar chart go up and down, and it's very cool. Or, you know,
very, very engaging for an audience. Very, very cool stuff.
So Poll Everywhere is there. Last year at the presentation summit, sendsteps.com. They've got a solution as well. And literally just yesterday or the day before, I got an email from Brian Daly at Hypersay. Hypersay is another solution. I think they're focusing mostly on the education market. But they're growing fast and they do a similar interactive solutions.
I'm not familiar with them. So the Presentation Guru article, it listed a whole bunch I'd never heard of. I'm actually surprised they did not include turning text, turning point solution. I'm going to say it's the legacy oldest one because it was a proprietary keypad. They were nice and small. There were a number of keypad solutions out there for a long time. I've used them for many years and many successful large meetings. And it does some very incredible options. Whenever I do international meetings and want to add polling, I still turn to Turning Point because it's a localized radio frequency solution. You know, it's keypad. You don't need to worry about the internet. You don't worry about people pulling out cell phones and international charges and of texting this and that. Poll Everywhere, I've used it all the time. I will make use of it probably at least a dozen meetings this year, if not two dozen across our team. So we use that one a lot. And that one's it requires either text messaging or mobile web access, and it does some cool stuff. But in addition to the bar charts, you can do things like dynamic word clouds. Everybody tell us how you're feeling, and you know, everybody can throw their mood out there, and it builds a word cloud. Does a lot of stuff. You know, the other one I'm going to throw out there that probably will never make any of these lists because it's a very small, very specialized company that I work with. The guys at VoiceHive, they really focus on event registration and event mobile apps. They have a fantastic ARS or audience response system offering within what they do. And I work with them probably at 3 or 4 events per year, but they also have this thing. They took it to a next level and they took the same technology and made a Q&A moderation offering so that, you know, an offline client could receive all the questions from the audience dynamically and then reorder them. And the presenter on stage sees the order of questions that they should respond in based on, you know, what the whoever's dictating it should say. They got some really cool stuff. So there's a lot of stuff out there. Again, we're working in PowerPoint. The idea is all these things should be seamless. Of course, there's a lot of standalone question answer things. We don't want those. We want the ones that work in PowerPoint. And it's just another way that add-ins are out there. These ones are kind of the extensibility. They make PowerPoint do things that PowerPoint can't do.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
What about there other software, maybe not necessarily an add-in, but other software that we use in our tool bag?
Okay. So we're kind of making this kind of our catch-all and wrap up with this kind of stuff. Okay. So I think we have to mention PowerPoint's QAT, Quick Access Toolbar. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about it a lot. I install my custom QAT on every computer. If I'm going to go sit down on a rental computer, I install my QAT because I just can't function without it. It's not pretty. Like, where the heck do you find that tool? How do you find the selection page? It's not an add-in, but within the world of PowerPoint, it is the extensibility. It is the, you know, it's like other third-party add-ins in that it is a incredible productivity boost to using PowerPoint in design mode.
Absolutely. Couldn't live without it.
Yeah. There are a few tools I use on the Mac. Dr. Unarchiver.
I love that name.
It sounds like it should
Pixar
be dangerous.
Villain right there. Another one.
That's what I use right now to unzip zip files because Mac OS changed the behavior. You can't just double click a zip to unzip it for some reason. And there are lots of software that does it, but I use Dr. Unarchiver. And I do that when I need to break into a PowerPoint file to extract or see, you know, how big an image is, or, you know, that's an old trick we've talked about a lot.
Okay. Another tool you have to have is NX PowerLite.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. I think it's gotten better, the built-in compression tools for photos in PowerPoint is, I still don't trust it. I know it's gotten better, but the trustworthy tool is NX PowerLite, and it allows you to choose multiple compression levels to deliver the right file size, depending on where you are in your workflow. It's not an add-in in PowerPoint, correct? Because I have never added it to PowerPoint. I always open up NX PowerLite separately.
Oh, I only use it in PowerPoint. And Laura uses it the other way. She uses the, you know, opens up the little app and drag and drop the. I use it directly in PowerPoint. It's right in add-ins and NX PowerLite. I just click it. All it does is open up the same app you're using, but it opens it with the file you're working in already loaded into the NX PowerLite window.
There you go. That's a time saver. I do use it. I have the add-in in PowerPoint. I mean, I'm sorry, in Outlook though. So every once in a while at the last minute, I may want to compress it before I send it out for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah.
That works.
And there are enterprise versions too. You can, you know, IT can install this, you know, so basically every email that gets sent with a PowerPoint file will automatically get compressed, which is good and bad. But
yeah, I don't know if I endorse that methodology of IT messing with our lives. So I totally second NX PowerLite, live by it. We use it daily for certain. And the new desktop version 8 has so many improvements that it's really, really good. I will endorse 7-zip for Windows, which is kind of your Dr. Unarchiver. It does not have nearly the Pixar villain name to it, but it's something to definitely use. By the way, you can also get into Keynote files the same way, Nolan, and extract things out of Keynote files on the Mac side.
Yeah.
Oh, we do it. Yeah, to get videos and whatnot out. Mm. It's awesome.
Can't you just drag a video? I know you can drag images right out of Keynote.
You know, I think so. I'm trying to remember. I just do it when I want to grab. So as example, I wanted to grab literally all the images out of a presentation because I knew
once, them.
So I just went in, found all. And what's nice is you can actually sort a little bit easier on the Mac side when you're in a zip than you can on the Windows side. So I just grabbed all the images out so I could just have a quick reference library of all these images. I would do the same thing with videos. Yeah. Videos is usually where we're using it. So let's see. Articulate or storyline? Do you guys use it? I mean, this is like a conversion. PowerPoint is done and now you're going to convert it to an HTML5 format. It's usually e-learning.
I give that to the experts. It's just something that I choose not to work in.
I don't. Me neither.
Okay. I've used it for, Articulate's probably my favorite. Storyline is their newer version. It's got a lot of really, really cool features. It's not a part of our workflow. Adobe has an offering out there. There's a number of them out there, but these are converting your PowerPoint to other options. I used to use a couple to actually make PowerPoints into video, but now that that's built into Microsoft PowerPoint so efficiently on the Windows side, I don't need those add-ins any longer, but there's a number out there. Speaking of video, though, how about Shams video export add-in? Have you guys ever
used that? I
might have years ago. Well, I'm not sure.
It's been around for a little while. So it only works in versions of PowerPoint that have video export. And what it does is it would let you set the resolution you wanted. So PowerPoint has traditionally had the three settings. Well, what if you want a little bit smaller, or a little bit larger? Or in my case, what if I want an ultra wide? You know, I need something that's that's just an unusual aspect ratio. What the add-in does is it lets you preset the pixel size. It should match your presentation. And then it'll export the video. PowerPoint is kind of taking away that because what they've always had, my understanding is behind the scenes, they've had four video export options. Three of them were always preset. The fourth one, this add-in just leveraged it and said, I'll fill in that dynamically with some information. Well, now PowerPoint's added the 4K export. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that was that fourth slot. Mm-hmm.
What else?
If anyone heard the last episode of the MVP Summit recording, I will also say that it was brilliantly called out that you can use Snagit's, which is another software I highly endorse everybody own, use Snagit's OCR tools for recreating images of tables into editable tables. I thought that was a phenomenal tip and something I've never even thought about using Snagit for.
Have you tried it?
It's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
It's a pretty cool tool. So yeah, Snagit, daily application for us, often for PowerPoint projects. Leveraging PowerPoint's extensibility, or in simple terms, making PowerPoint do more with add-ins, is something all professional presentation designers I have spoken with have included in their design toolkit in one way or another. Because this conversation has been basically one long list of pro and tech tips, we're going to have a ton of links in the show notes. We're just going to skip that segment and the time because we've used up all of our time. So at this point, let's just say everyone have a great week. Thanks for joining us. Let other people know about our conversation about PowerPoint and presentation design. Have a fantastic presentation design, presenting, and coaching projects week. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional design studio focused on professional presentation design with an in-house team of designers. Find us at tlccreative.com, thepowerpointblog.com, and Facebook/TLC Creative Services.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of goodies and downloads. And if your organization is looking for on-site customized training in presentation and or data visualization, give me a call.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz and the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as PPTWiz.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.